Well, hello and welcome to Hey, Let's Heal. I am your host and your friend, Alexis M. Lott, and I have had to take a bit of a break, but I'm back. And on today's episode, man, we're talking about something super, I believe that is like really important. And that is, God has given you permission to rest. And before we get started and just dive deep into this topic, I want to let you know that this topic is like really near and dear to me, and I have like a whole lot on my heart after recovering and coming back from being sick. And this message is kind of like pulling out of a message that I am learning. I have not learned past tense it yet. So if you see me wrestling with this, if you see me struggling with this, just know that, trust me when I say I'm learning this right along with you. And honestly, it has been one of the hardest lessons for me to learn. And I got a bunch of like other like sub messages rolling around in my heart right now. But I really want to focus this episode on God has given you permission to rest and what exactly that means and where I'm at with this message. So today I was on the phone with a friend, and I'll kind of tell you what prompted it. I was on a phone with a friend because one of the things that I have told myself in this season that I need is the accountability that I give other people. Amen. And so once a week, one of my friends and I, we check in at like 9 a.m. and we just kind of update each other on like, what are you doing? What do you got going on? And sometimes those conversations, very briefly touch on the stuff that we got going on to kind of like just keep another person accountable to our schedule and to our time. And most of the time we end up preaching to each other and like really venting about some of the things that we sense, feel, and things that are happening in the body of Christ. And so, and just what it means to be a daughter of God and a modern day believer in a 21st century, like living epistle. And I was telling my friend, I was like, you know, I'm starting to feel and to understand and to sense that being called out and having it made known that my gift, that I am a gift to the body of Christ in the office of a prophet, is deeper than what I realized, is deeper than what I recognized. You know, for a long time and through a lot of the charismatic and Pentecostal church movement of the 90s, the prophetic and being able to prophesy over people was really attractive. It drew a lot of people, draws a lot of interest, because like who wouldn't want to get someone who you know you don't know to speak a word over you about either something that has happened in your past that you know they were not there for, something that is presently happening that you need questions and you need answers from God about, or telling you about things to come in the future that your heart is kind of anticipating and wanting to know if it's in God's will. Like, the prophetic is just a very beautiful gift. And the scriptures through the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth encourages us to, you know, seek prophecies, to don't despise prophecy, to really, really, you know that it is a very beautiful gift to have. But what happens on the flip side of that, when you recognize that like a person is a prophet, I started to deeply understand and begin to meditate on that this thing is deeper than just, you know, being able to have a word or an accurate word for someone and being able to speak a mystery of God. I'm starting to really recognize that being a prophet, a gift to the body of Christ, is more about how God is choosing to lead my life and the things that he's causing to happen in my life to be experiences and miracles and lessons and good, the bad, the ugly, the terrible, that are moments for people to just kind of look at my life and see its ugly parts and its beautiful parts, and to learn about how God is working things through someone's life. And I have fully accepted my calling and I'm no longer wrestling with my identity. But what I am walking through is some of the things that God is telling me to let people know and to let people see. And so I will tell you that today is my first podcast episode after recovering from having a sickle cell crisis in March, where I was out of town. I was at Winterfest. Winterfest in Pigeon Forge is an annual event that the denomination, the Church of God, has where they bring a bunch of hungry, you know, radical teenagers who really love the Lord, and they do praise and worship and church services for a weekend straight, and these children just get these divine experiences with the presence of God. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend any of the services because at that moment in that time, my body just became really, really sick, and I had a really tough sickle cell crisis and ended up in the hospital and had to recover. And I actually got sent home with a walker because my legs and they just kind of completely went out on me. And I'm still having to like wrestle with some of the pain and lingering effects of what that did for me. But this is my first podcast episode back. And I was talking to a friend of mine about understanding and not beating myself up for feeling like I wasn't being consistent. And I think that, you know, for me, consistency and discipline have been such trouble areas of being able to just stick to something and say, I'm going to do it and I'm going to carry it out and I'm going to work through this thing for a while. And the one thing that I have wanted to always have was this podcast, because I know if I'm anointed to do anything, I'm anointed to speak God's word and to talk. But if God were to tell me to like rest and to stop doing it, It literally felt like a part of me was like missing. And so I was beating myself up because I've walked away from my podcast 2 or 3 times. And this is like my third time, like trying to get it together. And once again, I found myself derailed by like a health issue and asking myself, you know, did that really mean that I walked away fully from my podcast? And did that mean that I was being inconsistent? And so as a recovering perfectionist, we all know that, you know, that's my testimony. I'm having to really redefine, like, what exactly is consistency? Does it mean that I'm not, you know, straight and true with something? Or does it mean that you really do have permission to like rest and walk away and regroup and then reapproach something that God is giving you to do? And so today I am literally walking out the fruit of what it means to live in God's permission to rest and then regroup and reapproach something that he's called you to, and know that there's no penalty. Nobody is beating you up. No one is holding it over your head that you have not been consistent with this thing. It's really honestly a man-made and self-imposed criticism that can really get, you know, downright in bondage, where, you know, you feel so guilty for not doing something that you feel like you need to be consistent with. And so today I just want to encourage you that God has given us times and seasons, and times and seasons help us to understand when it's time to aggressively go after something, when it's time to rest, and when it's time to walk away. And so one of the things that I know helps me, or the big question, is less about rest and God has given you permission to rest. And I think sometimes the bigger question is, what is God's will? And so I want to read this to you in Ephesians, because it's a letter, of course, that was written to the church in Ephesus by Paul, the Apostle Paul. And I want to kind of read this to you because I feel like this scripture deeply frames the inner question that we have about what is God's will for me, and how do I know what I'm supposed to be doing in this present time, in this present moment, with what it is I have. So here's this letter that he's writing. So he starts out saying, encouraging the church in Ephesus, and he goes, you know, in verse number 13, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In your knowledge of him. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe. Oh my God, those are such beautiful words. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God put everything under Jesus' feet and made him the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in. And so I kind of want to break down this scripture and really like marinate in it, because I consider you my friend, you know, you're the homie, and you come back here and you listen week after week, month after month. And I know I am not the only believer that has had questions about God's timing, when he's telling you to do stuff, what his will is, and how this scripture says that we may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Basically, every believer, all the way back to when the scriptures was written, have questions about the will of God and what it is that we're supposed to know and what it is we're supposed to be doing with our lives and with our timing. And what happens when you sense and when you feel that God is calling you to rest, and what exactly is rest? Okay. So I want to tell you that I've kind of learned a bit of a lesson, and I want to share that with you. Number one, when it comes to rest, I believe that God set a precedent for us when he created the earth. And the Bible says in Genesis 1 and 2 that he created the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, which means he did absolutely nothing. And we live in such a culture, number one, that is so antichrist. And the culture compels us, pushes us, rushes us to hustle and to always have something going on. And I believe that this present culture, especially westernized Christianity, has given us such a demonically influenced mindset that is not the mind of Christ. It is the mind of an enemy that says, you must be doing, you must be performing, you always must have your hand to something in order for your worth and your value to be seen and known. So whether that's you constantly working a job, whether that's you constantly, you know, looking like doing something like looking after the kids, you're supposed to constantly be doing in order. So it's like do and push and have something going on in order to, so equals to be known. And what scripture teaches us in Ephesians is that this prayer is so beautiful. Paul is literally saying, I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power to him, to us who believe. These are in working together according to his mighty strength. So there is something in the Bible that is literally the direct opposite of how this world works. And I believe that it is so important for every believer in this season. I just feel it so deeply for us to understand that Christianity and the truth of God's kingdom now offers a different solution to how we are supposed to live our lives. And it's deeper than just having a day of doing nothing. It's deeper than just having a time where we cease from working and we walk away and we enjoy ourselves and we enjoy our families. Because let's face it, if you are a person, and especially a woman, even on the days where you're supposed to be quote unquote resting with family, you may find yourself doing something for one of your family members, cooking a meal, cooking food, gathering things together and putting stuff together so that you can enjoy the day of rest. I really believe that what God is calling us to is something deeper than just resting physically in our bodies. But I do believe that that is an important dimension of it. I believe that God is calling us to rest in him in three different dimensions. Number one, the physical. Yes. So being able to enjoy life inside of our bodies, being able to treat our temples the way that he has always seen it, given the fact that, yes, we are in a fallen world. But then number two, that temple management, something that we get to enjoy is that we don't have these ugly, ungodly, worldly things that we believe secretly about our bodies that are undoing the self-worth of who we see ourselves as children of light, made in the image and the likeness of God. I believe that the enemy demonically plants thoughts about our physical bodies inside of us, in our culture, on social media, and it's everywhere, where we're constantly judging ourselves and constantly believing that we're not good enough. And we can no longer see the truth of his word, where we believe that our bodies are enough and we don't constantly have to enhance, fix, add to, you know, something that he created and called beautiful. Like, and I'm gonna tell you something, as a real woman, just with all vulnerability and transparency. So the first dimension of rest, which is physical, and resting from the need to feel like we're not enough in our physical bodies. Like, I am interested in this little TikTok trend that's like, Black women cannot grow natural long hair. And so there's this trend and that I participated in of me showing off like my tresses, my locks, and that says, you know, Black women cannot grow their hair long, and if you can't grow your hair long as a Black woman, you're a unicorn. You know, because there is this self-imposed mental limitation that says that a woman of a certain color, of a certain race, cannot do this. I think it's so important for us to recognize that even stuff as innocent and as funny as that, or what's made to be comical or lighthearted, even can have demonic undertone in it. Because what is it teaching our culture, our people, that we cannot achieve, can't do something that God literally created to grow? And I know you may not think it's that innocent or that it's significant to think that way, but sometimes it really is, that you would be very surprised where the enemy hides. And so here I am on the internet, you know, getting ready for a photo shoot, thinking that I won't be beautiful enough in the pictures because my hair is not long enough. And so now, y'all, inside of one of my carts right now on a hair weave website is, you know, $400 worth of weave that I want to buy to clip into my hair because I want like a 30-inch bust down 1B middle part. Because there's a part of me that's seriously sitting here thinking, like, I won't come across as enough in these pictures, or as alluring enough, or as beautiful enough with what grows for me naturally. And one of the things that I have to think about is, like, where did that come from? Like, where did the voice that said what you currently look like in your current state is not enough, and you have to enhance and fix and do more in order to be socially accepted by this culture? And y'all, when I tell you that these are some of the things that keep us from true rest. Rest is not just going to sleep. Rest is the feeling of being confident and at peace with who and what you are. And so that's how rest shows up in like the physical dimension. And so I really want you as a woman and as a believer to ask yourself, do you believe that your physical appearance is enough? And are you constantly chasing after something that says that you're not enough and that you cannot, and that because of that, somewhere in there, there's going to be an opportunity or some sort of attention or some sort of love that's going to be withheld from you as a result of not looking like what is socially acceptable in our culture? That's the root of it, is that sometimes low self-esteem is not really what we think it is. It is the belief that there's going to be something that's going to be withheld from me or not given to me because I don't measure up in this area. And so what I believe God wants us as his women and as his, you know, his daughters to rest in is the love and the knowing and the inner peace that you are enough just as you are. And there's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing broken about you. There's nothing about you that is rejected or without, that you are accepted in the beloved and that you are enough. And I believe that I'm having to examine in my life, what are some things that are keeping me from rest? And it is the belief that I have to fit and match an image that my culture says, this is what a woman should look like. So that's just the first dimension that I'm learning this lesson in. So that's physical, right? The other part and the other area that I'm learning this lesson in is resting in God's sovereignty and in his enoughness is in my emotional needs. And the faith that, like, as this scripture says, I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and the surpassing greatness, like, what beautiful words, of his power to us who believe. So I had something happen to me the other day. As many of you know, like, I live a life and a lifestyle as far as how I earn money, that is rooted in entrepreneurship. So this is my 10th year being an entrepreneur. And then, of course, the other way that I earn a living is I work for my local church. So I do know, at about 21 years old, the Lord began to speak to me about my calling. So as this verse of scripture says, that you may know the hope of his calling. What is he calling you to? I began to understand that the Lord called me to the church as an institution for me to be a workman in, so that I would be a person who would earn my living and my livelihood primarily, not just from my giftings that I learned in marketing and media, but I would earn some of my livelihood through saying I was a called out one and I work for the church and my role is the office of the prophet. And so part of that has been very beautiful. Part of that has been very scary. And recently I came back from having this experience of getting sick and having sickle cell disease and being up in the mountains and being, you know, away from family and having all these things happen to me. And of course, I came back to church, and my first Sunday coming back to my local body of believers, I told the Lord that morning, I was like, I really don't want any like special attention. Like, I appreciate so, like, and when I tell you, like, this sounds both arrogant and like humble all at the same time, it's very convoluted, but I really just wanted to sit and be a regular person and just enjoy the church service, to be used of God where he saw fit for me that day, and just to kind of be normal. Like, I didn't want a spotlight. I didn't want people to be like over the pulpit, oh my God, Alexis is back. Like, I have a very hard time with attention and knowing kind of what to do with it. And so I was sitting that morning in prayer, or just not really in prayer, but just saying to the Lord, like, Lord, I really don't want like to feel like the special person has returned back. But of course, as soon as I stepped foot on the ground, it was people hugging me and kissing on me and loving on me. And so, oh my God, it's so good to see you, this. And to me, to be very honest with you, I said something within myself that the Lord kind of later on rebuked me for. And I was like, you know, Alexis, you know, you shouldn't be getting no kind of special attention. I mean, you kind of get sick all the time. Like what's so special about this particular time that you know, came out of the hospital and now you're back? Like, and I realized like how dark, that thought was, and how I kind of began to minister to myself about what I thought I deserved. And that particular Sunday, to make a very long story short, what ended up happening to me was that the word of the Lord for my life and for what this season has been doing to me came to my pastor. And so I very strongly, you know, trust the gift of leadership that's in my leader. And he, you know, spoke over me scripture that I believe is found in Revelations 3:8, I think. Try to find it. So the oh my goodness, so it's like Revelation 3:8. Yeah, so he began to feel impressed by the Lord that God wanted me to know, you know, it's like, I know your works. I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Y'all, I can't even begin to tell you some of the things that I went through being sick, because it was deeper than just feeling this tremendous amount of pain in my body from sickle cell. Number two, being in the middle of a national blood shortage and knowing that I needed blood and I needed a blood transfusion and not just one bag. I ended up, by the time it was over, having 4 bags of blood. But at first, they could not find blood that matched me. So I got on social media and just kind of asked the body of Christ and those who, you know, pray to, you know, to please pray that we could find blood that matched, and just pray for that miracle. And that miracle manifested within hours of me being on Facebook and asking believers to pray. And so I was just so grateful to be home, to be back. I felt like I didn't need anything extra, anything more, but he began to feel impressed to speak this. He said, "I know you had but a little power, yet you kept my word and have not denied my name." Like, in the midst of everything that was happening to me, there was a lot of demonic assault, and a lot of demonic, movement through some of the people who worked at this particular hospital. Not everyone. Most of my experience was very healthy and very positive, but in this particular hospital, there were people who, were just used by the enemy in ways that brought me a lot of mental and emotional torment. And it really got chaotic there for a second. And my husband and I, one day I was sitting in the hospital bed and my husband was to my right. And I just prayed out of what little energy I had. And I just chose to just thank God and to just worship. And I felt like I was just in the midst of like a refining fire. And so for my pastor to publicly call this out and for me not to be having these conversations with him at all, I knew this was the Lord. By the time the service was over, one of our other elders sent to sow, and I ended up walking away from church with my entire church pretty much sowing money and giving me money at my feet, and with a very significant amount of money. People sowed into my Cash App. They gave into my, you know, Zelle. I mean, it was money coming from everywhere. And people even on the internet who were obeying the Spirit of God felt led to give me money even before this service happened on Sunday. So I knew this was a God thing. And God, I think, was making less about the point of, you know, I'm your provider and I'm going to support you in whatever way financially that you need. Because a lot of my needs, you know, intrinsically, you know, and materially were met. But that moment so humbled me to the point where I could not talk. I could not speak. I could not cry. I really could not move. I was still am in shock, and very humbled that it happened. And what it was teaching me was about this just degree of faith and trust and rest in God that I did not earn. And one of my elders came up to me. So no matter how much I said that I prayed in that moment, and the scripture that was prayed over me was I kept God's word. I hadn't denied his name, which was all truth. You know, I felt as if, you know, I feel as if sometimes these God moments happen to people. And, you know, my life, like I said, is not necessarily the words that I speak, but my life has become like this out front display of God's just insane faithfulness, to keep those who just choose to trust him in the midst of circumstances that are deeply unfair, sometimes very deeply demonic. And God has just chosen, for whatever reason, me to live an out front life. And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what exactly does it mean to be called by God? What is a calling? And what is God's will? And it's not what you think it is. The more I live this life, the more I realize, man, it is less about me knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth and preach the gospel as much as it is for me to live out the gospel. And God has chosen for me to have a life that a lot of people know about, to show and display his glory and his name and what it means to struggle and to wrestle and to fight with him, sometimes publicly, openly, and to know him, though, still intimately and privately. And so I'm not going to deny that there are parts of me that just deeply trust him and have learned his sovereignty. And I believe that the parts of me that are both good and bad, God has chosen to display. And so in that moment, and feeling God's love for me in that moment, and his kindness and his gentleness and his just amazing care for me. Like I said, there were things financially that, yes, my husband and I needed to be taken care of, but this was deeper than just taking care of a financial need. It was about his ability to show me what it is to rest and give me permission to walk away from the responsibilities that he called me to walk away from the hustle of life, to live outside of what American culture says that we have to have, and to live in the beauty of what it is to take on his burden and to know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he is a God of love, and in his love is provision. And so, I say all that to say, God in that moment gave me permission to rest in his sovereignty. And what is sovereignty? Sovereignty, the word, if you break down the word sovereign, it is reign alone. The word literally means to reign or to rule, without help, to reign alone. Like, God is sovereign. God does not need Alexis's decision making. And I was telling my friend earlier today, you know, there are things that happen to me sometimes, and one of these things is what I think God is trying to teach me versus what he actually knows I need to know, because his thoughts are higher, his ways are higher, and he has the amazing and uncanny ability to move by his spirit in a way that gives us exactly what we need when we need it. And so his ability to rule and reign and to supply our needs is that second layer of rest, which is we rest in his faithfulness. We rest in his love. So the first layer was, you know, a physical need to rest, and it's resting in, you know, what we look like or our life circumstances and all those different things. And then it's choosing not to keep fixing something. That's rest. But another and a deeper layer of rest is also resting in his ability to be faithful. And so if I would have chosen to go back to work before I felt the peace and just honestly physically able to go back, I would have continued to forfeit my health. I would have continued to put myself at risk of opening the door to death. And it's not my time to go. So I don't know. And the more I try to explain it, the more I realize that God is just unexplainable. He is such a good father. And I want you to know this morning, not so much about me, but I want you to know that God wants you to learn to rest in his ability to provide for both your emotional and spiritual and physical needs. And rest is less about going to sleep and trusting. It's less about going to sleep as much as it is about trusting. That's what rest is. And so I have been taught a big lesson that I know I'll probably have to get retaught again, but it really truly is to cease from striving, to cease from trying to fix, to sometimes when things are chaotic, to let them be, because God has it all under control. And it is best. When I got the money, I asked God, I was like, what do you want me to do with this? And I went back to him, you know, and asked him, okay, you're the source. What do you want me to do? And he told me and gave me instructions for what he wanted me to do. And that even deeply challenged me even more. He told me to enjoy myself. And man, it was so hard to give myself permission to enjoy money, because that's a different podcast for a different day. We're right at 30 minutes, but maybe this would be like a part one and a part two. But he gave me permission to rest, and to know what it is to accept his love. And so today I want to pray for you, because I want you to know what the acceptable will of God is for your life in this season. And I want you to know that you have God's permission to literally rest. And sometimes that rest brings you such a supernatural peace. It's scary, because this culture is going to tell you and has taught you for years. And the, even sometimes in the innocence of parents believing and knowing that they're teaching us how to be responsible citizens and be people of work and be people of high ethic and moral value. So we get out there and we do. But there are going to be certain times and certain seasons of your life where you just can't. Your body won't let you, or either God is just leading you in the different direction. and you're going to have to trust. So deep trust is realized in our ability to rest. Absolutely. Absolutely. The depth of our trust is seen in our ability to rest. People who do not rest well don't trust well. And I'm having to learn that that is so true. That people who do not trust well don't rest well because they are constantly having to monitor the things that they have put in motion. When God puts something in motion and when it's in His hands, He maintains it. But when you have been the person to put this in motion and when it's in your hands, you have to maintain it. And one thing you and I both know is that human ability is limited. We have limitations. And sometimes we do not like to run into our limitations. And no amount of money that you throw at a problem will make your human limitations go away. You can only do so much. You can only be so many places. You can only fix so many problems. And God has designed human frailty to always be in a place of weakness, because in weakness is where His strength is shown. So the depth of our trust is witnessed in our ability to rest. And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because that's such a profound statement. The depth of our trust is witnessed in our ability to rest. People who rest well, trust well. And so I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for the person on the other end of this screen who is listening and soaking and watching, and for whatever reason were drawn to me and to the words that I have to speak and the revelation of my life. I thank you for them. And God, I thank you that this podcast has been an invitation for them to go to you in prayer and to seek you in places where they would love to know what your will is. And I thank you that you're revealing to them that they have your permission to rest, that there are some areas that they may need to walk away or enhance or end altogether. And Lord, I thank you that they can examine and start looking at different layers of their lives and asking themselves, do they have they granted you access to allow you the permission to help them trust you and to help them know you? Have they given you access, Holy Spirit, to know the acceptable will of God for those areas? And I pray that as they continue to live this life, that rest will become an integral part of how they live their life as a kingdom citizen, because their ability to rest is a direct reflection of their ability to trust. So Lord, I thank you that you're teaching them that no, you're not being irresponsible when they decide to either end, evolve, or just walk away from something altogether, but that they're choosing to trust you. And if those decisions make them an outcast or make them countercultural or make them different than the people around them, I thank you that you're going to give them a grace and an endurance to be a light that shines in darkness, and that they don't shrink their light or change their confession, or they don't, you know, get off of their post too early before you're finished completing the work because they care too much about what people think and what people will say about their choice to trust you in an area that seems unorthodox and very maverick, very uncanny and different. But I thank you that they can stand and endure the ridicule of man for the glory of God. And I thank you for that trust in Jesus' name. Amen. I see you on episode part 2.